Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Well, famous American author of Treasure Island, Robert Louis Stevenson, once remarked to his mother when he was a little boy, "Mama, you can't be good without praying." And Mom asked, "Well, how do you know, Robert?" And he said, "Because I've tried the other option." Well, I think young Stevenson got it. A person can't do good without God's help, his grace. So we need to ask for grace. It's kind of like that story of the guy who dies and goes to meet St. Peter, meets him at the pearly gates and says, St. Peter meets him and says, "Well, here's how it works. You need 100 points to get into heaven. You tell me all the good things you've done, and I give you a certain number of points for each item, depending on how good it was. And when you reach 100 points, you get in." "Okay," says the man. "Well, I was married to the same woman for 50 years and always remained faithful to her, even in my heart." "That's wonderful," says St. Peter. "That's worth 2 points. 2 points, the man says. "Well, I attended church all my life and supported its ministry with my tithe and service." "Terrific," says St. Peter. "That's worth 1 point. 1 point? "Well, okay. But I started a soup kitchen in my city and worked in a shelter for homeless veterans." "Fantastic," says St. Peter. "That's good for 2 more points. 2 points? Exasperated, the man finally blurts out, "Well, at this rate, the only way I'm going to get into heaven is by the grace of God." "Bingo," says St. Peter. "You get 100 points. Come on in." Well, it's not that God doesn't want us to do good. He does, but it's only by grace, his grace, that we can do good. Therefore, it's by the grace of God that we have access into heaven. This is why we need to pray for grace. St. Augustine said, "God's mercy goes before the unwilling to make him willing. It follows the willing to make his will effectual." Prayer for grace meets us today in our collect, in our gospel, from the 18th chapter of the gospel according to St. Luke on this Sunday, the 11th Sunday after Trinity. The gospel contains a story about two men praying in the temple. First man is a religious leader, a Pharisee. His prayer consists of essentially bragging before God about all the good things that he's done. And he ends his prayer with an arrogant statement, thanking God that he's not as bad as the guy next to him, an obvious sinner. Second man in our story humbly bows his head, beats his chest, and prays the most important prayer probably a Christian can ever pray outside the Lord's Prayer. He offers up to God the words, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner." The prayer is simple, yet profound. The prayer in this story is the most famous and important prayer for grace to do good outside of course, the Lord's Prayer, as we've mentioned. This particular prayer in our story is called the Jesus Prayer. It confesses Jesus Christ as God. It asks for grace or mercy. It concludes by acknowledging that a person is a sinner regardless of how good he or she is. One can do no better than pray this prayer at the beginning of the day, through it, and at the end of it. It recognizes that we cannot do good without grace, and it asks for the grace to do good. John Bunyan, author of that famous allegory, Pilgrim's Progress, once wrote, "Prayer will make a man cease from sin, or sin will entice a man to cease from prayer." Whenever we try to pray, a spiritual battle begins. The reason is that sin takes us from prayer. Satan knows this. He always tries to distract us from prayer, to convince us that prayer doesn't make any difference, and stop us from praying any way he can. When in fact the opposite is true. Through prayer we ask for grace, and through grace we do good. Where does good always begin, therefore? It begins with prayer. Prayer like this one. In fact, our collect captures the essence of this prayer in our story. The collect for today says, O God, who declarest thy almighty power, chiefly in showing mercy and pity, mercifully grant unto us such a measure of thy grace that we, running the way of thy commandments, may obtain thy gracious promises and be made partakers of thy heavenly treasure. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Do we hear the words of this prayer? It asks God to give grace to keep his commandments. For without grace, we cannot obey him. It's recorded that early African converts to Christianity were earnest and regular in private prayer asking for the grace of God. Each one reportedly had a separate spot in the thicket where he would pour out his heart to God. And over time, by going to that place so often, the paths to these places became well-worn. And as a result, if one of these believers began to neglect prayer, it was soon apparent to the others. They would kindly remind the negligent one, "Brother, grass grows on your path," meaning get back on the path, asking God for mercy. The sinner in the story of Jesus knew not to let the grass grow on his path. May God help us to remember the same. When all else fails, there is one prayer we should not, ought not, cannot forget. It is the prayer in this story, the Jesus prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "It's more blessed to give than to receive."